Golf Smarter number 128 for May 27, 2008.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
How to bridge the gap between practice and play.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week we tap the best minds in golf to help lower your scores with tips, drills, insights, and advice. In conversation with course pros, architects, authors, players, teaching gurus, and coaches, here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and thanks for downloading another episode of the Golf Smarter Podcast. I'm not home right now, so please leave a message after the tone. Hi there. Actually, I am on vacation, but that doesn't stop us from publishing a new episode. So when we say Golf Smarter number 128, I'm proud to say that it also means 128 consecutive weeks of Golf Smarter podcasts. Iron Man? Hardly. That's a title that's been earned rightly and deservedly goes to studs like Cal Ripken and Brett Favre. We'll just keep pumping out the podcast and pretending that it means something to somebody. As frequently happens, the best material for this show comes from you. Robert Lucero of Fort Collins, Colorado is a longtime listener who writes frequently. There's even a chance that he and I'll be playing together this summer when he's visiting the Bay Area too. Anyway, he recommended that I talk to Trent Werner, who's a phenomenal teacher and has great things to share with the Golf Smarter audience. Well, after checking out his book called Golf Scrimmages, I was really excited to get a chance to speak with him. Welcome, Trent.
Hello, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are things going for you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Hey, congratulations on your book. I think that it's a great title, but also has great content and is content that we don't often see. And I'm just so excited about the stuff that you have in here. Thanks for sending me a copy to look at. I really enjoyed it.
Certainly. Yeah, I'm glad you did. It is kind of a niche in the market, I guess, that people have been saying that I've found, and sales have been going great. So that's obviously a good sign of a worthy product, and people are finding a great benefit to the content that's in it.
Oh, good. Well, we're also going to make it available on our website at golfsmarter.com and make sure that the people can go to order it right off of the Amazon page that we have, our Smarter Shopping page. So they'll be able to get that. But, you know, one of the lines that you had that I loved early on in the book, and it just jumped out at me, and it was like, I'm so glad somebody said this to me because it helped me realize that it's okay. You wrote here, bad shots are part of the game and no big deal. Your reaction to them, though, are.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what the content of the book is mainly about: games and ways to practice that make your practice sessions more similar to the golf course. And that goes for the physical conditions that you're hitting on. Your kind of mental state, you know, your emotional state, those types of things, and it all evokes pressure. These games do, and you hit it right on the dot. The game of golf is about how you react and recover when you after hitting a poor shot, and we all have them. It doesn't matter what if your first name's Tiger or your last name's Woods, you hit it all over the golf course, and it's those people that can kind of dig deep or brush off those bad shots and get on with the game or get on with their round. And that's what the games in this book really promote. It's a huge tool to put yourself in pressure on the golf course. In the practice facility, there's a huge difference between practicing your mechanics and practicing the game of golf. And there's a chapter in the book called Scrimmaging, and really when you go practice, or if you played some sports when you were younger and you went to basketball practice or soccer practice or whatever the sport may have been, you scrimmaged a lot. You ran drills, you ran plays for the situations that you're going to encounter in an actual game. And I use the analogy of the a football team and how they go to spend millions of dollars working on a practice facility that has natural grass, that has artificial grass, that they pump in crowd noise. They try and make their practice so similar to whatever stadium they're going to go play on that upcoming week. In golf, we tend to spend way too much time working on mechanics, and that is what I do for a living. I'm a golf instructor, and it's I found more success by having a nice balance in our students' games as far as work on your mechanics, and then saying, okay, time to shut the door on that really sort of left brain thinking and transition into practicing the game of golf. And that's where the books just hit home with a lot of people.
Yeah, the book has a lot of different games in it, not drills, which I think was interesting the way you positioned this. These are games that you can play when you're out practicing to help you get into the mindset, the pressure mindset.
Exactly. The title of the book is Golf Scrimmages: Realistic Practice Games Under Pressure, and it's really one of the biggest complaints that golfers bring to the lesson tee, and certainly instructors all over the country hear this the same thing, is consistency and or lack of consistency and inability to take their game to from the range to the golf course, and hitting 57 irons in a row or whatever the club is. Well on the driving range, okay, that's great, but you need to be able to do it once, you need to be able to do it under pressure, you need to be able to do it on a bad lie, and you're hit around the dot. It's just about games. It's not drills for your swing. I don't know what your swing looks like. I couldn't help you over the, through a book without knowing, in the most effective manner anyway. I like to save those for kind of one-on-one instruction on the lesson tee, but the process of practicing is certainly been overlooked or weighted toward mechanics, and it's really taken golfers away from their potential, their ability to play the game with a little more freedom and less thought. Much like what we do in so many other sports, where we just reactionary sports, where we go dribble the basketball and you fumble a little bit, you just go get it and get it done and get it back and you're on with it. And there's so much less mechanics in shooting a basketball and there's certainly some mechanics in certain sports, baseball, in batting and hitting and those types of things, but they'd never lose sight of the art to it, what the game is really about, and that's just kind of what we're hitting on within these game or within the book. And there's 230 pages in this book, and the chapters consist of putting games, chipping games, pitching, bunker, full swing games you do on the range, and there's even a chapter of on course games that really enhances one's strategy, better thinking. And they're not, gambling games that you play with your buddies on the weekend. These are games that get you to think a little bit better on the course.
And games to make you compete against yourself, but that's what golf is all about.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful point, and that is what the games are in the book. Many of them you can compete against yourself in your own score, and they have a scoring system that kind of brings on that pressure. And some of the games you can play against a buddy. So that's what makes it really versatile. It's been a huge hit with college teams, and they're a great example because they are, college players are recruited to that school. They're given money or, in the form of a scholarship to go play there. And so they need to prepare for tournament. They need to prepare to play. And yeah, their mechanics are decent. They're pretty sound, and there are a lot of golfers out there that might say, "Yeah, but my mechanics aren't quite there yet." And that's probably true. But you can't ever lose sight of that realistic setting, and it is a nice tool that you can go out and practice on your own or with some friends. And the college teams have just taken to it and they're just eating it up.
Awesome. Awesome. Congratulations. You mentioned earlier about, and I receive, I'm sure you hear it more than I do, but I receive emails frequently that say, I have a real tough time taking my practice to the course. I can practice really well. I can hit very well off of a mat. But once I get onto the golf course, everything seems to change.
Precisely. It's You know, they're the physical setting that you set yourself up on the golf course, or excuse me, on the practice facility. You know, it can be as simple as changing your clubs more frequently. It can be drop the ball from shoulder height to just kind of see where the ball, you know, play it where it lies. You know, if you're in a little bit of a divot, but we stand there on the range and we typically tend to prop the ball up perfectly on this nice tuft of grass, and you know, we're hitting from perfect lies and it's flat, and we're hitting the same club, you know, a million times in a row, and we just get in this rhythm, which, you know, there's a place for that, but it needs to be, you know, I do say in the book that you, more of your practice, so I would say just easy round number, 60% of your practice should be spent on realistic practice and putting yourself in these, in the situations like golf scrimmages, and the other side should be mechanics, and that's at a minimum as far as the 60% realistic practice side goes. If you're really hitting the ball well, then you know, 90-100% of your time should be spent practicing the game of golf. And you know, if you're having some ailments and you know, having a hard time getting the ball where you want to go, if it's not playable, then sure, you know, spend some time working on your swing or technique, whatever it may be, in putting or chipping, and get that better. But don't stay there stagnant, you know, sitting, you know, all right, what next? The next piece of mechanical information I can throw into my brain. You know, it's a time to shift gears and practice the real game.
I just experienced something that I'd never gone through in my 10 plus years of playing golf. And I've told the audience about this before, that I played in a competitive round, and it wasn't just a scramble for a fundraiser, and it wasn't, you know, a couple guys dropping a couple dollars. It was a 4-round event, and we had one round in which the other team, the other twosome, we were tied going into the 18th hole.
Ooh.
Yeah, and we were in the lead the whole time. They caught us on the 17th hole. Now we're going into the 18th, and I had a 180-yard shot to the green for my second shot to get onto the green, and I'm comfortable with that distance. I feel good about hitting my 4-iron about 185 yards, so I was okay with that.
Okay.
But while I was standing over the ball, waiting to take my shot, I found myself getting short of breath. I was standing there like, and it was the weirdest sensation I'd ever had. It was like, I'm under pressure now, and I got to let this go. It was amazing. I'd never felt that kind of competitive pressure that, you know, you're talking about, that you should be practicing on the practice range so that you're comfortable with it once you get into the situation on the course.
Yeah, that's really neat that you said that, because, you know, and people feel pressure in different different arenas, I guess. You know, there are people who feel nervous on the, you know, get the first tee jitters. There's a good story. I played a round of golf with a friend just last week, and he was telling me at this club that he worked out back east, he virtually, the dining room and the patio sat just feet away from the first tee box, and it's a really nice, exclusive, private club. And, you know, every time you'd go tee off, and, you know, you're hearing all the forks clank, the dishes, and, you know, as someone nears their setup, everything just gets dead quiet. And that's just what reminded me of your situation, where, you know, he felt everyone looking over him. But, you know, everybody plays golf for a different reason, and they feel pressure in different places and at different times. And it's crucial. And the good thing is you are aware of that, obviously, and you know, that's what makes it fun, I think, in your shoes there, is that you can now work on a different aspect of the game. You can work on the way you practice so that you're less fearful or less overcome by the tension or the pressure-packed shot that you're about to be faced with. And really, the, you know, one of Jack Nicklaus always said that he got his confidence from preparation, and there are a lot of things you need to prepare for when you're playing golf, and one of them is simply just that. It's learning to practice with a little bit of heat on you. And it is. And you know what? There's so many great quotes out there, too. I just thought of one. Phil Mickelson, and I think I put this in the introduction of the book. It's most golfers spend their whole lives trying to develop a repeating swing as if mechanics alone will make them good players. I learned early on there is more to golf than that. And, you know, you can look at these the players that are the best players in the world, and, you know, no two swings are alike. And, you know, impact positions, yeah, they might be similar, but people hit the ball higher or lower, to get very specific. And some people cut it, some people hit it fairly straight, some people draw it. And it's really just about having a balanced approach to practice. And that only means working on your putting and your short game and your full swing and your drives and your bunker play, but those other mental aspects about you know, becoming a better, more well-rounded player emotionally and becoming mentally stronger. And I work with a lot of kids, junior players here in Colorado, and there is, you know, the kids get so good. You know, high school golf is not what it was 20 years ago when I was in high school. It's so much more competitive, even on the on both on the boys and girls side. And they spend, you know, they get good mechanics. They get a lot more instruction these days, but they are still kids. They still go out on the range and say to their pal, "Hey, let's see who can hit it the highest. Let's go see who can hit it the lowest. And all right, let's see who can hook it the most, and, you know, get it around that flag and try and hit the other green." And so they have that artistic side, they have that experimental side, and they apply, you know, good mechanics with that side of the game, and they just excel so quickly. And college golf is just a very, very competitive environment these days. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I want to ask you about when you're going out to the practice range. And I'm not even sure, you don't like calling it a driving range, do you?
Yeah, that's right. I put that in the book a little bit, you know, even just to change your mentality a little bit, to maybe think of it as a practice course.
Interesting. Well, when you're headed out to the practice course, the practice range, is it important to have a purpose when you're headed out there before you pull the bag out of the car?
It sure is, yeah. You know, I think one of the things that I always do with my students is have them ask themselves some questions immediately after the round that they just played. So things like, what did I do well? What would I do differently next time I'd be in, you know, next time I'm in that similar situation? What do I need to work on? Those types of things. What do I need to ask my teacher? And based on those answers, that kind of throws a plan right, you know, it's staring at them in the face, and they say, okay, based on how I just played, I need to go work on this aspect of the game. And it really is, and the better players do that, the ones that have more success. And, you know, and again, we all play golf for different reasons, so it's not just all about, you know, tournament players. It's just about having more fun with the game. And the way the scrimmages, the games in this book, they are more fun. They're more purposeful. They make you have more meaning to your practice, and the purpose that you brought up is, or a plan, is just a plan, and it is. It's crucial to have one of those. But I think it comes from, you know, just keeping track of your game a little bit and knowing what your ailments are, and, you know, not just going to the range to, you know, pound away at your favorite club.
Oh, come on!
Well, you know, to get loose, or when you're down, nothing's wrong with getting your favorite club to gain a little confidence.
Mm-hmm.
You get better by working on your play to your strengths, but work on your weaknesses.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Talk about practice versus warming up. There's got to be a difference, you know, going into a round that you're getting prepared for. But you don't want to treat that as if it's a practice round, right?
Sure. That's a good question. Yeah. We have a questionnaire that we send all our new students, and one of the questions is, "What is your how much time did you devote to practice, excluding the warm up time before a round?" Because people tend to count that as practice, and I think that's maybe where you're headed here a little bit. Is practice is practice, and it's a clear plan on what you're working on. You know, swing mechanics, putting mechanics, working on a game to get more familiar with the pressure and working on different lies, that sort of stuff. But and a warm-up is a lot of maybe half swings to start off with, and just getting the body loose, seeing some success. And that's really why you want to start with some short shots first, just get some good crisp contact. And there are different approaches to that too. There's one instructor, which is not a bad idea. He recommends hitting your driver first and hitting it, at 30% speed.
You're kidding.
No, and then hitting it 50% speed. And the reason...
You're the first person I've ever heard say, take the driver out first.
Yeah, the reason is it's your most forgiving club. It's your biggest club. You get to tee the thing up, and it's not swinging out of your shoes. It's almost like a 30-yard pitch shot with your driver, or what would be a 30-yard pitch shot.
So just take out your driver and try to give yourself a 100-yard target type of
Bingo.
Thing?
Bingo, perfect. Yeah, hit it 100 yards, hit it 125, hit it 150, hit it 175. And just
on purpose?
On purpose, yeah. Maybe making your swing a little bit bigger, a little bit faster as you make some solid contact. And it's an excellent drill. We use that drill a lot because your timing has to be, right on with your driver. It tends to be the club that produces a little bit more errant shots directionally. And to swing slowly, yet to have all your parts moving together, is a great exercise to get your body in tune and then slowly increase the movement or the speed in which all of your body and the club is moving.
That's a great idea, because recently I've noticed that when I have my driver out, I tend to swing out of my shoes. I tend to, and I don't want to, I just swing harder, and I know that's wrong, and I pay the price for it as well. And so I've been pulling out a hybrid off the tee and having much more success with it lately, that maybe I should practice hitting my driver at, one-third.
Exactly. It is a great drill.
And, wow. Great. Thank you.
And it is. It's important to hit fairways, and certainly, the kids these days, they do hit it pretty hard, and the guys on tour hit it pretty hard, but it doesn't mean that's right for your game, especially if you're spraying it and, losing. Those golf balls are expensive these days, Fred. You don't want to be... leaving them in the water or out of bounds there somewhere. So.
No.
In play. Keep it in play.
Keep it in play. Keep it in play. But, Trent, listen, for most of us, life has to take precedence over golf. We don't want it to, but, golf is our passion. We want to play as much as possible, but really life gets in the way, whether we have, kids and, that demand a lot of our time, and family and work. Oh, my God, there's a job. All these different things. So we really don't get to, for the average golfer, not the competitive golfer like you're talking about with high school and college, which they don't count because they don't have jobs and families.
Sure.
But for most of us, we really don't have the kind of time that we'd like to spend practicing. And when we do have time, we want to go out to the golf course.
Correct.
Okay. So what would you say for one of those people, for me, that just has too much going on and can't get enough time out playing, what would be the proper amount of practice versus time playing? Is there any kind of formula that you can supply for us that would make us feel better about ourselves?
I can kind of give you a blanket approach, though, to that.
Okay.
And I'm with you, and I certainly, we do teach a lot of players of varying ability and players that, get out once a month or just on the weekend, and practice is very limited. So, any plan, it needs to be based around the person's time and goals and commitment, for sure. And and there is a way to improve, like you're asking. And I would say if you're one of those people, one of the most important things you can do is spend a little bit of time in your yard. You can have a chipping contest, a pitching contest, and typically the people that just get out a couple times a month or just every weekend or whatever it is, but not a lot of practice time, their short game tends to suffer. So one of the best things you can do for your short game, which will roll into a better full swing, a more effective full swing, is just hit a bunch of little chips and pitches in the backyard. And there's a game in the book that you just put a little bucket. You can get your car washing bucket or something, and put it in your yard and just hit little, it could be 5-yard shots, 10-yard shots, what have you, and you can have a contest with yourself. Say, okay, I've got 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is before dinner's ready, before I need to make dinner, and throw down some balls and say, let's see how many out of 20 shots I can make in the bucket, and it'll seriously take you, you know, 20 shots might take you 10 minutes, and just say, okay, I got 3 today. That's a pretty good number, and you know, just next time you've got a couple minutes, do the same exercise again and try and beat it. And that right there is kind of getting you in the mode for golf. You're kind of setting a goal, like I'm going to try and beat my previous number, and it doesn't take much time. And like I said, it's a good pitching motion, a good little chipping motion. It promotes solid contact and better swing mechanics as your swing lengthens up to a full swing.
Excellent. All right, now we're going to go through the lightning round here. I'm going to do a couple of these with you. In the book, you have, as you mentioned earlier, you have whole chapters dedicated to various games that you can play, and you have putting, chipping, pitching, bunker, full swing, and on-course games that you can play to help improve your mental state while you're out on the course and put you in pressure situations. Actually, I'm going to ask for a specific one here on the putting drills, the putting games that you had. Give me a quick overview of your game about putting with your eyes closed.
Yeah, that's a good one. The most important thing in putting is typically speed. You can be the best green reader in the world, but if you hit it too hard or too soft, it doesn't matter how good you are at reading green. So you have to have good touch, good feel. And that exercise is simply that. Close your eyes, and you can putt to the hole, you can putt to a tee, you can putt to the edge of the fringe. And when you putt the ball with your eyes closed, and before you open your eyes, you can ask yourself, boy, did that feel like I hit that ball too hard, too soft, or is it, you know, within an acceptable distance of the object? And when your answer is the same as the actual result, then your touch and your feel are enhanced. They're becoming more specific.
Oh, you nailed it. Oh, that's great. Oh, all right. And plus, I can imagine that with your eyes closed, that you'll have a not only a sense of if you're hitting well, but it'll keep your head down, too.
It does. Yeah, it certainly does.
That tendency to look up to see where the ball goes before you make contact with it.
Absolutely. I think you hit around the dot. Your mechanics can get better with that exercise, and your awareness to your feel of speed control will greatly improve.
All right, you gave us a game by practicing in the backyard with chipping. Give me a pitching game.
Pitching game. You know, I probably pitching is a vital part of the game, and I think one of the best ones is kind of thinking. Yeah, that one was the bucket. A great one is. Gosh, I'm kind of torn. There's a couple of them. In between is a good one, and it's simply. And this is something you can do in the backyard too. Just throw down a couple towels. You know, depending on how much space you have, maybe 10 yards apart, and you can work your way back. This is something you can do on the range just by kind of specifically locating a couple balls out there that are already on the range. It's something you can do in your park if you throw down a couple towels. And what you're trying to do is hit the first ball. So you've got two towels, and you're hitting the first towel might be, I'm going to try and paint the picture here. The first towel might be 20 yards from you, and then the next towel is 30 yards from you. So you're kind of hitting toward the towels, not like you're kicking a field goal between the towels. And you're trying to get as many balls as you can between those two towels, and yet you can kind of set up a little stipulation where my first ball is trying to get very close to the far towel, and my next shot has to be just short of that previous ball. Your next shot has to be just short of the last ball you just hit. So you're slowly working your way towards you, and again, in very kind of small increments to try to increase your touch, because pitching is so much like putting. It tends not to be the directional issues that we have, but the distance that we hit the ball. And that's something with the book, too, Fred, that I didn't mention, is there each game is accompanied by a color photograph that really shows how to just an easier illustration to see how it's played and how it's set up.
Well, you know, I'm gonna quote someone on the back of your book here. On the back cover, you've got some interesting quotes, but boy, you got a bonus here that Zach Johnson gave you a quote, and then he went ahead and he won big, huh?
I did. The timing was great there, and Zach's a really, really great person, and he was nice enough to supply a quote for the back of the book.
And Zach Johnson's quote is, "Golf is a competition against oneself, the golf course, and the conditions presented. The tools, games, and drills in Trent's book allow a golfer to mimic that same type of competition." Congratulations.
Yeah, that's great. Zach certainly on a roll and certainly deserves it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the book is called Golf Scrimmages, Realistic Practice Games Under Pressure, with a subtitle, How to Bridge the Gap Between Practice and Play, and it's by Trent Werner. And you can get more information at golfscrimmages.com. And you can also go to the Smarter Shopping page of golfsmarter.com, and you can buy the book for yourself right there so Trent can have one more copy sold. Trent, thanks so much for your time today. We really appreciate it, and thanks for the insight. It's been amazing.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure.
There are only few moments left for you to enter to win a Frankly Frog putter designed by Frank Thomas of franklygolf.com. To enter, go to golfsmarter.com and click on the contest tab that is right on the navigation bar. Deadline for entries is May 30th, 2008, and we're going to announce the winner on the next episode. Unless, of course, I'm having so much fun on the beach of Gilligan's Island that I don't come back. And then our streak of 128 episodes is over. Don't count on it. If you're one of our new listeners, again, we welcome you and appreciate having you on the team. But you may not be aware that as a Golf Smarter listener, you're eligible to take advantage of a 10% discount and free shipping that you receive from Edwin Watts Golf. Please check out the Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf podcast to hear fascinating conversations with industry engineers talking about the latest technology. And Kenny Nicholson answers all your equipment-related questions. But to take advantage of your discount and free shipping, you must listen to the latest episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf. We'll play a short promo for it at the end of today's show. This week's closing quote is another from Martin Nalty of Surrey, England. It was comedian Bob Hope who once said, "I went to play golf and tried to shoot my age. I shot my weight instead." If you have any quotes, comments, questions, or suggestions, I'd love to hear from you. Please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Hey, this is Kenny Nicholson of Edwin Watts Golf. On the next episode of Golf Better, we've invited Tom Osofsky of TaylorMade to tell us all about their new line of hybrids and fairway woods.
New family of burner products is designed to really help the golfer when he sets that club behind the ball. It looks like it's going to be faster, and it looks like the club is going to swing itself faster. We've done that by going to a little bit more triangular shape than traditional, which gives us a faster look behind the ball, as well as giving us the ability to move the center of gravity back and put the inertia at a very high level.
That's Tom Osofsky, Senior Director of Product Creation for TaylorMade, on the next episode of Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, free on iTunes or at golfbetterpodcast.com.